live from the HananiahAutos.com studio. This is Jaguars Monday.
Jaguars Monday.
Presented by Kangaroo Express. Jaguars Monday with J.P. Shadrick, Jaguars great Tony Baselli, and CBSSports.com senior writer Pete Prisco is sponsored by Ticket Exchange and by Everbank.
Bring me some chocolate pudding.
Jaguars Monday starts right now.
From the HananiahAutos.com studio at Everbank Field, this is Jaguars Monday. J.P. Shadrick, pride of the Jaguars left tackle Tony Baselli.
That's me.
And senior NFL columnist for CBSSports.com.
He's quoted in CBS Sports today.
Yeah. Prisco.
A lot tamer than LaCharles Bentley's comments. But along the same line, you both were right on.
CBA is messing up offensive line play. It's the union's fault.
Yeah, check out the story from Pete Prisco.
We'll talk about it. I want to talk about it later tonight.
Yeah,
I think
we'll
it is important. I mean, once we get in the second hour and talk around the league, it's an important story.
It really is.
Offensive line play is not very
and
good.
And Jacksonville, right? You should be happy with what you have.
We might have one of the best offensive top five, maybe?
In the preseason, this line has played
top five. Well,
among some top five line in the league.
I'm saying as far as preseason play,
yeah,
everything changes when the real
right.
deal okay. starts.
But in the preseason, it's been one of the better lines in the league.
I can't wait till the old callers. Get ready, callers.
They're coming tonight.
The Jokel. I mean,
they're going to come tonight with the Scobie news. They're going to come with Thomas news. They're coming at you tonight.
I can't wait.
We'll open the phone line second
I'm
hour
here.
Tonight.
I'm ready, Joe.
355.
Bring it.
Hey, can I read the number? 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. And we'll take calls in the second hour coming up tonight. Which big news do you want to go with? Scobie traded to the Steelers for a sixth-round pick or Julius Thomas?
Julius Thomas is way bigger news.
That came out this afternoon, and Adam Schefter report, and then Dave Caldwell on his conference call to discuss Scobie was asked about Julius Thomas and said that a second opinion is coming up tomorrow, but he could require surgery that could keep him out for another 4 weeks or so.
Because obviously this is news to me, so anyone who thinks that like we get information first doesn't always happen that way. My one question would be, and maybe it was asked on the call, and Pete, I think this would be the question you'd probably ask. Why was there not a second opinion week the first day? Why not have multiple people look at your highest prized free agent? I mean, unless it was such a basic injury that they thought was just going to heal?
Yeah. Well, and it probably didn't heal. And now they're going to have another opinion to see if it's not healing.
But isn't that weird? But if it's so, I mean, when it was described to us, and I believe this is the case because when you're talking high profile guys, you want to make sure you get it right, that it was no big deal. Like, there was no question that he would be ready week one. Am I wrong, JP, in that?
No, it seemed the way it was. Him and Ciprian were the similar injuries,
yeah.
Right?
So,
different.
So it's been 2.5 weeks already, right?
Right.
So if it was a 4 week injury and. Now they're talking about another 4 weeks, right? Or 6 weeks.
4 weeks from
5 weeks.
Yeah.
Because they said
weeks
they might
would
play
be week four.
Week four.
Right.
Yeah, so 5 weeks from now. 5.5 weeks.
See,
really.
And to me, they say he's getting a second opinion tomorrow. It sounds like they know already he's getting surgery.
And that's just let's hold him off so we don't have to deal with it until we have to.
Right. It sounds like he's going to have surgery. And if he has surgery, then it's a whole different animal. But back to Tony's point is if. Why not have surgery right away to get him ready for the why didn't they just go in and fix it right away?
I don't know that. And I'm not question. I guess I am questioning.
Yes, you are.
Yeah, I am. That's what I'm saying. I am. I don't know. I would have loved to ask Dave that question. Not that he could probably even answer it.
Here's the other part of that. Don't they have any tape down there in the locker room, in the training room?
Well,
tape the damn thing up and play!
Well, Pete, if it's broken in the kid's hand, I don't think – I mean, Marcus Pollard probably would do that. He'd probably just tape it
can
up.
You tape
yeah,
up
Marcus
a, can you tape up
play.
A broken finger and play as a tight end? Tape the damn thing up.
It's not just his finger, though, Pete. It's in his hand.
Marcus Pollard walking through
like,
the hallway.
I'm out of here. I ain't answering this question. It's not in his finger, though. It's up
the
in his
top
hand.
Of his
it's
hand.
In his hand.
Right.
So what are you going to tape, Pete?
The whole hand.
You got to catch the ball.
Yeah. It's not like he's just a blocking tight end.
Like I think this was like week one of the playoffs. You tape it up and get through the playoffs and try to win a Super Bowl. Like Keenan, remember Keenan broke his wrist?
I'm kidding, by the way. I know. Sometimes
Keenan,
you can't.
I mean, listen, they got to get it right now. So, I mean, if it's broken, have surgery now so he's out as little as possible. I mean, you got to get it right. I mean,
it's not like the offense hasn't moved without him. But now what's the injury on Harbor with the ankle?
It sounds
doesn't
like pretty minor.
No.
So he'll be ready to go week one?
Well, we thought everything. What we thought?
You thought the finger injury was minor, too.
No, that was
there you go.
Deal.
You got your high-priced free agent going
Harbor,
into week five.
Harbor worked full today.
Oh,
he
so did.
So he's
fine.
Yes.
Do not play.
He just didn't want to play the other night.
I would go. Based on this news, I'd go sign back that Connor Hamlin guy.
They did
sign him back,
didn't they?
No, they cut him.
No, they signed the defensive end back. Oh yeah. Why would? Oh, so you,
so then I wouldn't let Mercedes or Nick Jacobs or
just bring a body back.
Yeah, I wouldn't let him play this week. I wouldn't play anybody. I know we're not talking about it yet. If I was a head coach and a GM in this league, I would not play one person in this game that I was counting on for week one.
Yeah, but you have to play somebody.
No, say, which Leo are you going to play then?
None. Just saying.
None. Who's going to play?
I wouldn't
play.
They're
all three playing.
I would play.
What do you do? Quit?
No, I just.
Walk off?
Just have four your owner.
Forfeit
week four.
Tell the owners run a league.
Redskins, you win
this game.
I put
like seven guys out there.
Sometimes on defense, they look like they've had seven guys out there.
I'm being facetious, obviously. I would not. I play none of my starters.
Of course, but that's so take 22 out of the equation.
They're not playing.
That leaves you how many?
That leaves you 75. That leaves you 53.
Right. So
that's it.
It's tough.
No, not tough. 53 guys you're playing.
I'm with you, though. I wouldn't play any of my starters either.
None.
Zero. And so I heard somebody saying, well, what about getting yelled at some work?
No. We're good.
None of them.
Zero.
Move on.
You've seen enough of yelled at.
Yeah.
I haven't seen enough, but I still wouldn't play.
No. It's not worth it. Hmm. Particularly behind a two line. But then again, it would be twos versus twos because the other team's probably not going to play anybody either.
I don't care what they do. I said it on the broadcast after the first three drives that Blake had, I would have taken him out. Well, midway through the second quarter, I don't need to see anymore.
You said that to me at halftime or something.
I would hide him.
And they wanted to see him come out of the
tunnel. No, bubble wrap him.
I'm with you.
Go hide him. I would hide his helmet. I wouldn't even let him get on the plane to go to D.C. just in case.
Right.
I'm just telling you.
I'm with you.
He can stay here and do post game with us. It'd be great.
I don't care what he does.
I wouldn't play any of them.
None.
Nobody. So who plays? Somebody has to play, though.
Fine, the backups.
So who plays? Chad Henne plays?
Yes, as much as Chad and Steven Morris. Let Steven Morris play the whole game.
Right.
Chad can do too. I don't need Chad to play.
Storm Johnson, running back.
Yes.
Storm Johnson. So let him get beat up before he goes next.
You'll probably – and Gus Bradley actually said today that Luke Boyko could play some tackle in this game too.
Sure. Be great.
Be a good time to do that.
Well, he's competing for a job.
Yeah, sure.
No, he's on the roster. Come on, Pete.
Oh, Pazdar's competing for the job.
Yes.
There you go.
Pazdar and Young are competing for the job.
We'll get to that game coming up.
Yeah.
But the other big news today, Josh Scobie traded to the Steelers for a sixth-round pick in this next year's NFL draft.
I thought this was going to happen after the game Thursday – or Friday night. How they did it, they wanted to see the young kid if he could handle the pressure, and they gave him all the reps except for the first kickoff, basically.
Yeah, but is that pressure in the preseason?
It is when you're – yeah, he's fighting for a job. You're talking about pressure, Pete. He doesn't do well, he gets cut.
I think the pressure has now changed. It's a different type of pressure.
But there's pressure.
He had nothing to lose.
Yeah, he had a job.
Nobody expected him to win the job in the first place.
But by week one, they did. By week one, they did.
You don't think the pressure changes now? It's different. No, entirely different animal.
Different pressure, but he went into that game knowing if he kicked well, he had a job in the NFL.
Somewhere. Probably.
So he had to kick well.
Still not pressure. Still not the same type of pressure when you're the guy. The pressure is different.
When you not have to kick well, you got to kick well at any level, right? You always have to kick well.
But when 44 guys, well, let's say 43, 42, because the punter, long snapper, and the kicker, take those out. When 42 guys have laid it on the line for 59 minutes and 58 seconds, killing each other, and they ask you to trot out there to decide the whole thing when everyone's looking at you, saying you've done nothing all day, you better make this dang kick. That's when it's different. That's to Pete's point.
Right.
That's different.
Right. And I went back because I've heard a lot of this today that the Patriots let Vinatieri go because they had Guskowski and they thought he was better. And it's proven out that he's been probably as good a kicker, and now he's probably better.
He had a bigger leg.
The very first year, he wasn't better. So keep that in your back pocket. He wasn't better. I went back and looked today. He was not better than Vinatieri the first year when Vinatieri was in Indianapolis and he was in New England.
It was going to happen sooner or later.
I don't mind it. Remember, and you remember this.
Most people
won't remember this. Scott Sisson was the kicker. Everybody thought he was going to be the kicker. He came to camp. He had some kicking experience. Sisson's going to be the kicker.
One day,
Mike Hollis, you're the kicker. And he ended up being a darn good kicker.
He handled it just fine.
Right. So, and even when Scobie was a draft pick, he came in and became a good kicker. So.
I mean, here's the reality of it. It was going to happen, if not this year, I think next year, because they weren't going to pay him $4 million or whatever he gets paid a year.
Well, he's going to be a free agent after.
That's what I'm saying. So
he's getting paid this year.
I know, but this was it.
The Jaguars are actually splitting some of the money.
Well, but you got a six-rounder.
Right. Plus, here's the other thing. I Josh Kobe's great in the community. I think he's a fantastic guy.
Great guy.
But that doesn't matter. That matters none.
None. It's a business decision.
And his kicking, quite frankly, last year wasn't as good. I mean, he was kicking a lot of low balls.
Yeah.
And now there were circumstances.
There was reasons,
the special
teams.
Three blocks.
And, but yeah, it was not his. It was his worst year as a pro here in Jacksonville. I think that's it. Is that fair to say?
Correct. I think it was 71%. I think it was 30th in the league or something like that.
Now, I'm not saying it was all him.
No, it wasn't.
But just
all him.
I'm saying it was his worst year.
He was, what, middle of the pack in touchbacks, too?
Kid came in and kicked great. Even Josh said the kid's talented.
And he gets the ball up in a hurry.
Oh.
The ball gets off that leg and goes up in a hurry. But, again, that's all well and good now.
Find out.
Nothing counts. Zero counts. Talk to me. Game one against Carolina. They're down two. He's got to make a 48-yard field goal with no time left. Will he make it? Will he bang it through?
Who says they're going to be down two at all, Pete?
Well, yeah,
this team's going to be up, Pete.
I pick him to win that game.
He's a positivity.
Oh, I think
they're
going to win the first two.
I do, too. And then they're going to go
game-winning field goals.
5 or 6 and 10.
No.
No?
That's where you're wrong.
I played out the whole season.
12-4.
You're out of your mind. You're out of your mind. You really believe? You don't really believe that. Why are you laughing? Why are you choking up over there? Why are you laughing?
What? I'm not laughing.
12-4? I guarantee
you. Did I say that?
Yes, you did.
No. I said that.
He's on record.
The best they're going to do this year is 8-8.
No.
No.
No?
What's the best?
9-7.
Oh, so you went one game over what I said then.
Or 12-4.
They could get to 9-7 with.
Yeah.
Hey, we saw miracles like that happen in 96, remember?
If Blake Bortles plays the way he did in the preseason, in the
regular
season.
A lot
season,
of shootouts.
Okay, well, my point is, you're Mr. Quarterback, Pete. You have that guy. Half the teams you play don't have that guy.
I agree.
Right there.
I agree. Look, he's been very good.
Heck, the team playing in week three might not have that guy. Different team with Garoppolo.
Yeah, we'll find
I mean,
out
we're going to find out tomorrow.
The
right.
Yep.
Or the end of the week.
Because it's either 0 games or 4 games. Nothing in between.
We'll see.
Well, the judge can't rule anything else.
Yeah,
unless
four
they
games, you might have more court case to hold it all up and everything else.
Yeah, that's fine. Whatever. So, listen, Josh Goey was great. I know there's a lot of reaction on Twitter like it's the end of the world. I hate to see Josh go because he was great for the community, great for the team. He's fun to play golf with. Great guy. I mean, just a great guy. Did a lot of good things. But it's the part of the business. I mean, listen, we got rid of Fred Taylor. We got rid of Bruce Jones. We got rid of me.
You.
We got rid of Mark Brunell. I mean, nothing against Josh, but those are bigger than the – I mean –
It's not the kicker. Right, they're bigger than the kicker. And by the way,
I mean, nothing,
he's not a kid anymore either.
No, he's a 12-year guy.
Right, not a kid anymore.
I mean, I wish him the best. Someone asked me – I have a good friend who's a Steelers fan. He was all excited. I said, listen, I'm hoping, because I don't care what the Steelers do this year, I hope Josh Goby has a great year. Oh, I hope he has a great year. I'm rooting for Josh Goby. But I think it's a good move for this team. I think Dave made the right move.
Tough place to kick, Pittsburgh.
Oh,
especially in December.
Especially anytime.
Anytime.
That wind on
the
open
wind
end. Horrible field.
Bad.
Yeah, it's bad. It's a tough place to
and
kick.
I hope Jason Myers does great here. I mean, so
we won't know. We won't know. We will have no idea until it's time to make one. And I'm not talking about a 32-yarder.
No, when it's time to make 47-yarder with, you know, less than 7 seconds of the clock to tie a game or win a game.
Correct. And we won't know until then.
And that's when
you have no idea.
And that's when you make your money and you make your hay and you make your name as a kicker.
But the legs are bigger, stronger, and it's just like every other position. The guys are bigger, stronger.
Oh, he has a bigger leg than Josh right now.
But the kickers in the NFL, Tony, they're better than they've ever been.
Sure.
Ever.
Ever.
It's unbelievable.
From Marist College to the National Football League. He was signed in the Arena League last year but didn't kick in a game. The Jaguars scouts found him in a kicking showcase in Mobile the week before the Senior Bowl. Brought him and two or three other guys in for a tryout, workout. He ended up sticking. They signed him, and here he is.
Why didn't he kick in the arena? Why didn't he?
I don't know. I don't know the whole story behind that. He was signed with two different
teams. Little goalposts.
And that's why he's a first-year player, because he had a professional contract last year with another organization.
I got to figure that. We're going to find that out. Why didn't he kick in the arena? He got beat out? Who did he get beat out by?
I don't know.
He beat out Scobie? He got beat out?
Can I say something?
Yeah.
I don't care.
He's a kicker. He's a kicker.
I don't care.
It's interesting.
No.
You're the kicker in the NFL from street free agent to starting kicker in the NFL, and you don't think that's a big deal?
No.
Why he didn't have the job in the Arena League?
No.
Okay.
Yeah. Why don't you write that and see how many clicks you get on the CBS
Sports. It's not worth writing, but in this market, it's worth knowing.
How many clicks you get?
In this market, it's worth knowing.
Well, then JP should write it.
Yeah. Write it up, JP.
We'll get right on that. Get back to football. Be here at EverBank for the start of the 2015 regular season when the Jags face Cam Newton and the Carolina Panthers, and Jason Myers hits a game-winning field goal Sunday, September 13th. Incredible seats just released, but they'll go fast. Visit jaguars.com/tickets for more information. We'll look at the Jaguars' injury situation and plenty more left. It's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HennanyAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
We owe first responders a huge debt of gratitude. The Jags opener against the Panthers is dedicated to supporting Jacksonville's first responders. Buy a ticket to the Sunday, September 13th game, and $5 of your ticket purchase will automatically be donated back to Jacksonville's first responders. Get your tickets now at jaguars.com/groups. Jaguars
Great
Monday.
Deal. Awesome deal.
That is good.
Always tip the cap to the first responders.
Yeah.
Guys are amazing. Guys and gals are amazing. They do. Lay their lives on the line.
But please don't call my house anymore begging for donations. You know what I'm talking about.
What are you talking
about? You know
what
I'm talking about.
Unbelievable, Pete.
What are you talking
about? We went from saying how important they are, how great they are, and basically, please leave me alone. I don't want to help you.
Well, you know what I'm talking about, too. Like, once you give them something somewhere,
I just want to make sure we heard that.
And they No!
You hate first responders.
No, I love first responders. I just hate the people that call on behalf of the first responders.
I'm not really shocked by this at all, actually.
No, because it's not good for Pete. It doesn't help Pete, so he's not willing to give it.
It's annoying as hell.
Pete doesn't believe in all of America believes in giving to charity except for Pete.
No.
Yeah, are you good during the holidays, giving? Or are you receiving?
He's a receiver.
I give.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
You're a he does not.
Like in the Catholic Church when I was a kid, when we were in Catholic Church, they used to stick the basket, like it used to have a handle back in the day. So they put it right in front of your
face.
And
you took it out.
No, my dad used to do the fake out. He act like he put something in there. I learned from the best.
The fake into the offering basket.
Hey, he had four kids. He didn't make a lot of money. Of course he's faking it.
Oh, help us all. Help us all.
Wow.
Yeah. All right, let's move on.
Runs in a family, I guess.
Oh, he comes by an honest.
Injury news. Of course, we mentioned Julius Thomas with what they're calling a tendon in the hand.
Whoa. Back up.
The bone.
You just
the
changed
tendon.
The whole thing. Is it the tendon or the bone? Because
it's
that's two
a tendon.
It's a tendon, yeah.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
Yeah, so they're going to look
at
it tomorrow.
Okay, so now that
opinion.
You hear that, you change your tune on it?
What do you mean change my tune? Why didn't we know the tendon was...
Somebody texted me, and I can't know who it was, but said that MJD was on NFL Network or somewhere saying that they misdiagnosed the injury.
Did he just say that as an ex-player, being sarcastic and nasty, or did he get information?
I don't know.
Either way, he'll have a second opinion tomorrow, and then
figure it out
from there. Yes, it does. I agree. Limited in practice today. Bernard Pierce with a lower back.
But, I mean, for the record, let's just clear something
up. Okay.
There is nothing to say that there was a misdiagnosis. I mean, that is not the news. I mean, no matter – I mean, I love MJD, but he's –
Well, you know how players are when they get on the net, where they want to make their bones.
Oh, yeah, you have to make a name for yourself. Yeah. So even if it's not true, like that's like half the stuff on the NFL Network you hear, it's like –
Well, like when
is that like a real source, or are we just trying to get my name out there?
What was the one that when Smitty got the job in Atlanta, he blasted him on the who was
Marcellus Wiley?
Yeah,
Wiley.
Yeah,
on ESPN, yeah. Killed him.
Killed Smitty.
So it was the worst hire ever. The guy went Coach of the Year three times,
and everybody hated him in Jacksonville or something.
Yeah, something stupid.
But he was just trying to make his bones.
So I mean, we don't know anything about Julius Thomas yet. We don't know if he's having surgery. We don't know anything.
No, tomorrow he's getting a second opinion.
That's all I've said.
That's what I'm saying. I'm just saying I'm trying to make it clear because we've heard a lot of different theories.
Tomorrow he's getting a second opinion.
Okay, go ahead.
And we'll know more after
But
that.
It sounds to me, just being, it sounds like he's already going to have the surgery, doesn't it not? If he's getting a second opinion tomorrow, would they have said he's going to be out for 4 weeks?
They didn't say he's out for 4 weeks yet, have they?
They said it's a possibility. Yeah,
possibility. They didn't say he's out, though. Yeah.
I bet he's having surgery.
Maybe they're trying to game plan and try to fool the Carolina Panthers right now.
Yeah.
That's the dumbest. That's Tom Coughlin old school thinking.
Well, maybe we should go try that old school. In the new school,
if you had players like you guys had back in the day, you know, maybe.
Go ahead.
Players limited today. Pierce, lower back. McCray and Walters with some sore knees. They were limited. Sterling with a hamstring. Daniels, the defensive back, with a shoulder injury. And House had an elbow bruise today, was limited. Lee, Gerhardt, Thompson, Reynolds, Linder, Branch, Hearns, Miller. They did not practice today. Miller had a vet day. A-Rob, Sample, and Harbor were all full today. So that's good news. Harbor
Sample's
back.
A guy we got to go see play. He's got to play.
Yes.
He's got to play. Otherwise, I mean, what do you don't have any idea what you're going to have.
We did the cuts came. There was no surprises there, right?
No, I don't think so.
Pretty those basic. Guys, all those guys that got cut knew they were getting cut, like about 2 months ago.
Is the first cut the easiest one, though?
Oh, it's simple. Yeah, you know. Look at today. Look around the league today. And
the only surprising one was that Fred Jackson cut in Buffalo.
He's 34 years old.
Yeah, but he had a good year last year.
He's 34 years old, though.
I'd bring him in as a third back.
Where?
Anywhere.
Not here.
No, you don't need him here. I'm just saying, but if you didn't have the depth like this team has, I mean, he's a versatile guy, can pick up the blitz, run short yardage, goal line.
Yeah. I thought Greg Scruggs in Seattle was a little bit of a surprising cut. He's actually been on the field for him. Mm-hmm. Defensive end, big kid, young. He's only 25, 26 years old.
Yeah.
Hey, maybe here.
We're looking for Leos.
He's not really a Leo, but.
Yeah, then no.
There aren't any Leos. That's the problem.
Andre Branch.
What about Dwight Freeney?
I heard he wants to play for a contender.
Hey.
And teams have knocked on that door, and he keeps putting them off like he doesn't want to take part in training camp, and then he wants to show up. You watch. He'll show up somewhere.
Andre Branch out for significant time. That's what the team has said, with an MCL sprain. So up to Chris Smith, Ryan Davis, Chris Clemens to take up the slack there at least.
Well, and I don't know much every down play Chris Clemens wants to go right now.
And it wasn't like Andre Branch was getting home. I mean, what are you losing?
No, it's just a depth issue. I think that's right. All you lose.
I mean, they're not losing. It's not like they're losing hand on the ground, sack, fumble.
No, it's
game
not like
guy,
Bruce Smith got hurt and no. Don't know what are we going to do now.
I mean, yeah, it's a depth thing, but
yeah, depth. I think rotation wise,
when
works.
They say they don't know, what do they mean? What does that mean?
It means they don't want to tell us.
I mean, is that an MCL tear?
So no, MCL sprain is what
first of all,
called.
Well, sprain can be a degree 1, 2, or 3. It, one is a slight tear. Two
right,
is
a tear.
Medium. Three, it's like really like you're in trouble.
So no surgery.
Well, you never have surgery for MCL ever.
If you tore it, you
no,
don't.
You don't. No, it heals by itself. It has that's an area of the knee and the ligament that gets a lot of blood to it, so it heals itself.
You don't have to ever.
No,
have it. No?
No.
I thought you did.
No. Now, if you tear an MCL and ACL really bad, they might go fix it when they fix the ACL, but it'll heal by itself. So. But it can be a 6 to 8 week. If it's a grade 3, it can be a long time. But what they're telling us is we're not going to tell you anything because we don't have to right now. There's no
they may not know, you know?
No, they know. The other part. They know. If they took an MRI, they know what grade it is. They know whether it's grade 1, 2, or 3. They know. They don't have to tell us. So why tell us?
Why not?
Why?
Why not?
Because I don't want to.
Wouldn't that be honest? I mean, why not be honest about it?
They are being honest. We don't want to tell you.
Why? What's the point of it?
We don't want Pete Pistole writing about it.
No, I'm not going to write about it, but what's the point of Ryan O'Halloran might write about it. The fans in Jacksonville might want to know about it. What's the point of hiding that?
Because
I've never understood that.
Okay. If let's say they say it's a 6 week injury.
Right.
Let's say it's a 4 week injury.
Okay.
But it doesn't heal and it takes them 6 or 7 to get back. Now all of a sudden the fans and everyone else is on the player. What's wrong with them? Why isn't he getting back?
You know, so you're saying it's a grade 2 MCL sprain. We expect them to be back in 5 weeks. It might be 8 weeks, but we don't know.
Yeah, but
see,
all
it's
the
really
fans,
easy to do.
All the fans here is 5 weeks, and no. When he's not back in five
no.
weeks, where is he?
No, you're wrong.
No, you're wrong.
No, the paranoia in the National Football League, and this is one of the best organizations in the league when it comes to not being paranoid, but as a whole, the paranoia in the NFL is out of control. Out of control.
I know, it's causing so many problems.
It's not causing any problems. It's a pain in the butt.
Why is it out of control?
Yeah,
what's the problem?
Control?
Because everybody's so paranoid about saying stuff and doing this and secrets and
because
everything.
Because people
else.
Like you start writing stuff that's not.
Then I'll just write it anyways. And if you don't tell me the truth, I'm not saying here, but anywhere else, if you don't tell the truth, then I'll just rain it down on you. How about that? It's like I was in Tampa the other day. I'm in Tampa. I need Jameis Winston for something I'm doing for this week. I need 3 questions for him on 3 plays. They said, well, we'll see. I said, better you get him, let me ask the question, than me analyze it on my own, isn't it?
And guess what he's doing?
No, right. So yeah, I got him. They got him, and he answered the question.
And
so
how was he?
Eh, not really good. You know, there's certain quarterbacks.
Maybe that's why they don't want you to talk to him.
But he can be good. There's certain quarterbacks. You know this. You go around the league, you talk to guys. They want to talk about X's and O's themselves. And what goes on. And not themselves, but what goes on the play.
No, I'll show how smart you are. Who? Oh, they are.
Oh, they just want to help. He didn't seem too enthused. No, he had a bad game, so I could get it.
Did he have a bad game, or was the fact that he got hit every play because of that offensive line?
Yeah, that too. But again, it matters none that they don't say what the injury is. He's talking in coach speak because he's a coach now.
Yeah,
and coach he talks coach speak.
I am a coach.
Right, and he talks coach speak.
Coach high school football, Episcopal Eagles. Let's go.
I'm a man of the fans.
You're the voice of the fans.
But the fans want to know. They have a right to know. They pay the salaries. They have a right to know.
They pay the salaries.
They have a right to
know. Salaries. Without the fan, there's no salaries. They don't watch the games. They don't go to the games. They don't get the TV contract. The fans pay the salaries. You're wrong about that.
No, they're a big part of it, but the TV contracts pay the salaries.
And why do they get the money for the TV contract? Because the fans watch it, Tony. The fans pay the salaries, period.
I love the fans. I think the fans are critical of this whole process. I've always said so. Have I not?
Like I've told many a coach who complained and bitched about something, you went into coaching thinking you were going to make it. PE salary and being a high school football coach, and now you're making $5 million a year.
That is true.
And so don't ever complain about life in the National Football League.
No, and you should always embrace them. Where you and I agree, Pete, player, coaches, organizations should embrace the media and embrace the fans because they are all a critical part of the entire process.
And I will say this, not just because I live here, this is one of the best organizations.
Oh, Dave and Gus do an amazing job
in terms of open door policy and what goes on here. Yeah. I'll say that 100%.
Agree.
Kiss Game Day parking hassles goodbye with a JTA Stadium Shuttle. 5 convenient park and ride locations to choose from for Jags games with tickets starting at $7. For more information, visit jtafla.com. We'll come back in a moment. Greg Olson spoke to the media today, Jaguars offensive coordinator. We'll hear from him coming up. It's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
To me, he's like the albino tiger at the zoo. You know, if you get there and you're lucky enough to get him to come out of the cave and see him, you know, it's a good day. So I've only seen him 3 times, you know, since I've been here. And those 3 days, he was very impressive. But he's only been out 3 days. So we're hoping that we can get him healthy and see a little bit more of him. That's part of it. You know, injuries are part of the NFL, and you've got to be able to adapt to the personnel that you have. So we're certainly hoping to get him back and hoping to get him healthy because we do believe he could be a big part of what we want to do going forward.
Jaguars offensive coordinator Greg Olson earlier today discussing Marquise Lee.
That's cold, baby.
Did he just call Marquise Lee an albino tiger?
Yes.
Yeah. Means you don't see him.
One of the great lines.
That's awesome.
Great lines.
Awesome.
I loved Ole before that comment. But we got to get him. Like, they need to get him before the media more. Albino tiger. Running smack, I mean, great stuff.
What wasn't Ole the when Gabbert when they got torn up in the? I still swear that was nobody knows that for sure. But the comment from the Mike Silver story on Gabbert that was an Ole comment.
Oh, that's right.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If Ole becomes a head coach, he's going to be a good quote.
He's already a good quote now,
no doubt.
He's a good football coach.
Hey, look at the offense.
He's done a great job so far.
He really has.
Everyone will be killing him if it doesn't continue during the preseason. But so far, if you're judging this staff and what they've done offensively, outstanding job.
You got to think this. So, like last night, I'm watching the game with Derek Carr and the Raiders. Bill Musgrave is the offensive coordinator of the Raiders. He was once the offensive coordinator here. It's kind of like they swapped. I mean, Bill hasn't been here for a while. But
long time. Been quite a few other places since.
Minnesota, he had to deal with Christian Ponder.
Atlanta. Yeah.
And then he was with the Eagles for a year.
Yep, that's right.
But Olsen's done a good job with the offense. I got to give props. I mean, you know, I think when you see the way Blake Bortles plays, you can tell there's confidence in the offense. And I'm actually doing a story on second-year quarterbacks. Tomorrow is coming out on what the difference is. I talked to a lot of Rodgers and Manning.
Oh, I know. Your favorite line. This is your favorite. Give us your favorite line.
What's my favorite line?
You've told everyone.
No.
Yes.
Which one?
Aaron Rodgers told me that.
He said
if you don't get it by the second year, it's over.
You're not going to get it.
Took him 5 to be a starter, but if you don't get it for the second year.
You don't think he would have been a starter right away if he had gone somewhere else and been really darn good?
I think Aaron Rodgers would have been a starter as a rookie if he went somewhere else.
Right.
I think he's good.
He's great.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Right, he would have been fine.
Right, so, but I mean, it's hard to accept that quote from Aaron Rodgers when he sat on the bench for 5 weeks.
Which is why Bortles said what he said. Which is why Bortles said what he did. Yeah, that's okay. He sat for three.
Was it three?
Sat for three. But
whatever.
But I'm going to say this, and he's going to get mad.
Here we go.
But I'm going to say it.
Shocking.
In 8 years from now, Blake Bortles will be by far and away the best quarterback in the history of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Say that again.
In 8 years from now, Blake Bortles will be considered the best quarterback in the history of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
So we're looking at 2023.
No, he's saying that because he's seeing if it'll get me mad.
No, because I know he's your buddy. Mark was a good player, but I think this kid has a chance, a real chance to be that special
guy. Listen, I think Mark would probably tell you, let's hope so, because that means this team is playing in the Super Bowl.
It's not let's hope so, it's will he be.
I thought you said he will be.
I said he will be. What will you say? I want to see what you say. I'll put him on the spot.
Oh, well, do I think that's the case?
Yeah.
I hope so. I don't know. I mean, it's so early. I think he has does he have an opportunity to really be dang good? Yes. But I'm not – I mean
– Brunell just called you fired from the staff.
No, my point is – but
you
just
got a
like,
new line coach. You're out.
Just like Franchi the other day –
Well, Franchi rushed it up.
Yeah, well, Franchi said he's top tier. Top tier quarterback.
He's not top tier.
I mean, let's wait a second. I mean, everyone's comparing to Ben Roethlisberger and this guy, and now he's going to be better than Brunell. I hope so. But let's win week one. And let's be having a positive experience.
We're talking
about three preseason games, Pete.
But you know how –
You
know how
the
I like my quarterback.
Your quarterback.
How is it? Stand in the pocket, make the reads, make the progressions, go through the
– And I'm all for it, and I hope he does, but he's played three preseason games. I mean, you and Frank should do a radio show today of jumping to conclusions.
No, I didn't say top tier. Top tier?
Hey, Pete and Frank, jumping to conclusions
At least
today.
I pushed it off 8 years down the road.
Snap
judgment.
Frank
had him at top tier like last week, wasn't
Snap
it?
Snap judgment. You know.
What's the better show name, Snap Judgments or Jumping to Conclusions?
I don't know, but Pete and Frank, you could host both.
Did I say top tier? I pushed it down 8 years.
8 years from now.
Hey, Mark Brunell never threw 20 touchdown passes in a season.
Yeah, I did.
Once.
Okay, you just said never.
Okay, he never threw more than 20.
But, Pete, it was a different game back then, too. I mean, would you admit that? If you threw for 25 back then, it was like a big number. Go look at Elway's numbers.
Yeah, I know. It was a different game. You guys got in the red zone, he ran the ball.
We ran it. I mean, we were number two rushing for 2 or 3 years in a row. I mean, it was a different game. I mean, the way it was
played. And I'm not dissing Mark because I thought Mark was
good. I'm not defending Mark.
I just think the next kid could be special.
I hope he is.
But not top tier yet. Frank. Frank does know who's in that top tier, though, right? He does know
I'm
that
not sure.
guy's named Roger.
After that comment, I'm not sure.
Will Rogers be around in 8 years?
No.
How about that?
No, he'll be around for.
Come on.
Who's going to be in the top tier in 8 years, though? That are here in the league right now.
Frank said right now, by the way. Okay. But Andrew Luck will be there.
Andrew Luck will be there for sure.
Unless he gets hurt.
Sure.
One of the two rookies will probably be there. One of them.
One of the two rookies. I think Blake could be there.
Yeah. Bridgewater might be there, too.
How's he looked this preseason?
Very good. All of them have. And you know, Carr made some good – has done some good things and done some bad things. He threw a bad pick six last night, but – I think that quarterback class could actually end up being pretty darn good.
Interesting.
Texans screwed up, by the way. Should have taken Bortles.
Or Bridgewater in the second round.
But Bortles at the top.
Okay, I'm just saying either one would have been better than where they sit today.
Right.
With a pretty good team everywhere else except for the quarterback position.
The division is passing the Texans by because they all have quarterbacks and they don't.
It's going to be a good division for a while if Mariota's what he looks like in the preseason and if Blake's what we think he is. We already know Andrew Luck's good. It's going to be a good division for a while.
Good quarterbacks.
We'll come back in a moment. We'll talk about that quarterback a little bit more. He talked to the media today, too. I know you're excited about that, Tony. I love the media.
Just ask Pete.
You are the media. I don't know what you're talking about.
No, I'm a player.
No, you're a media. When you were a player, you were deep throat to the media.
We'll come back in a moment. Talk quarterback. Phone calls coming up as well. 355-NFL-1. 355-6351. This is Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HenneyAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
Follow the Jags to London. They'll face the Buffalo Bills at Wembley October 25th. Great packages available direct from the National Football League, including exclusive parties, probably with Tony Boselli. Access to VIP areas, probably with Tony Boselli.
Absolutely.
Flights, maybe with Tony Boselli. Hotels, and more. Visit NFLonlocation.com or call 866-890-1799 for more information.
The question is, will Tyrod Taylor still be starting by then?
Good question.
Great. How about question. That? What do you think about that? I mean,
we'll get to that around the league.
Sorry, sorry. I didn't mean to jump the gun.
Yeah.
I did jump
false
the gun.
Start.
I've done that once before.
Might have jumped the gun. He was going to hold it, right?
Who's that?
He was I thought you wanted to wait to talk about this. Now we're jumping the gun again.
You know what? Yeah, I just changed it. Okay. Yeah.
He false started. We'll wait. Yeah. We'll wait.
Okay.
5-yard penalty.
Thank you. Jaguars quarterback, Blake Bortles. You might have heard of him. He spoke today. You know, he said this offseason and this preparation, his arm feels night and day different from last year. Offseason of throwing, of course, coming from college, the whole process and everything. Took a break. Arm feels good. Knows how to warm up now. Can't underestimate that. That's a big deal. That's a big part of this thing, how the arm feels, right? I mean, and the mechanics and all that.
You hear through rumblings through the grapevine that the arm was far worse than was people knew last year.
What do you mean? Like sore?
Like really? Like maybe should have shut him down at one point.
Well, I don't know about that. I think it was a lot of mechanical issues. And there was some.
I've heard that there were some real problems with there that maybe they should have shut him down. Now, I'm a bit, you know me, I was the guy that play right from the get-go.
Yeah, I love how you jump ship as soon as
No, I'm not jumping ship. I was right on about that one. Can you imagine if they didn't play him?
Typical media.
Remember their master plan of not playing him last year? How would that have worked out?
Well, we all decided and agreed that
you were a little hesitant, if I remember correctly.
I was with you from the beginning.
Were you? Was it Jeff? Jeff was hesitant.
Yes, Jeff was the one. I'm the one who said play him.
I always put it on Jeff.
Well, he's not here.
If we go back to, was he on board with me playing right away?
Yes. I said the reps, the experience is invaluable.
One of you two was against it.
Logs was against it.
Okay. Hmm. I'm a big believer in play. Could you imagine if he didn't play all year?
Then we're starting from scratch right now.
You don't know what you got. Then look what he is now. So he's a different guy because he played.
Pete, who are you talking to? I agree with you.
Well, there were a lot of people in this building that didn't want to play him.
No, I think they felt like they were hoping that Chad would get them through so that a lot of the stuff that they knew he had to work on, which he ended up working on this offseason, he would give that, it would have an entire year to do it. I'm with you. I think the experience was invaluable. I don't think it was always positive experiences.
No.
I think there's a lot of things going on that offense that made it very difficult for him to succeed.
Yeah, it wasn't a very good offense. It wasn't a very good scheme.
And I think this now, with the offseason and the mechanical work and the learning how to prepare and learning how to take care of his arm and the fact that Ole and that staff are building an offense with a purpose, I think would be a fair way to say.
And so he feels good then. He feels comfortable. He likes it. He understands it. His arm is better. His feet are better. It's more your feet. If your feet are fixed, your arm will be fixed.
We talked about that all last year.
Yeah.
Bad feet, impossible to be accurate. And he was awful. I mean, he really struggled with it. And part of it, I'll still argue that part of the success that he's having right now is he is mentally comfortable with what they're trying to do and knows what they want to do and understands the philosophy and understands where the ball needs to go, understands what he's seeing, and is confident in all those things, so it makes it much easier to be natural in the pocket. And he looks natural to me right now.
As part of the story I did on second-year quarterbacks, I asked Blake, I said, how often did you get to your second read last year? He guesstimated 30%.
Yeah, I wouldn't even know how to judge that comment.
Now, like he said there are times when the one read gets open, you go to him right away, obviously. But coming off and getting to your second read and third read and fourth read, that's the next step for those guys.
Well, sometimes by the second read, he was being hit in the mouth.
Sometimes by the first read, he was being hit in the mouth. I mean, it was a problem. And here's the other problem. Sometimes by the first read wasn't there because the first read didn't run the right route, and then you get to the second read, and he didn't run the right route, and you're not getting to the third read.
And Blake didn't know which one was the first or second read.
Right. So it was very complicated.
It was a difficult situation for everyone.
But the best thing still looking back on it.
Yes, all those guys. I mean, the Brandon Linders, the Buencos, the Allen Robinsons, the Marquise Lees, the Allen Hurns, the Darnell Robinson. He looks like a different guy running back. All those things are so invaluable, and the beating that they took and how uncomfortable and miserable – and just hard it was, pays off this year. I'm a big believer in that.
I agree.
It's much – you don't learn how to play without playing.
Right.
I don't think you can learn to play this game from the sideline.
You cannot learn by charting plays.
Or I don't care any position.
But particularly quarterback.
Any position. You can't learn to play from the sideline.
I would agree with you.
Greg Olsen also talked today a little bit about the running game so far and why it's a little slower in developing than the passing game.
That's being kind.
Because they've been focusing on the timing and the passing game and the routes and all that to get Blake comfortable, and that's a very important part of this thing. And I guess run game always kind of comes up last when you're putting in an offense. Is that accurate?
No.
No?
No, where'd you get that?
No, just
But I'll say this.
No, I think that's completely
wrong. A lot of run games have struggled in the preseason, too, though. It goes back to what we'll talk about later, is the cohesion of the offensive line.
No, but I also think it's because in watching the tape and watching the offensive line, there was times.
Yeldon missed holes, didn't he?
No, no.
Not on the goal line, he didn't miss a hole down there when he leaped. He should have cut to the right and
he could have gone underneath. Is what he should have done.
If he had gone to the right, he would have had a touchdown.
If he had just gone underneath, he'd have a touchdown.
Yeah, I thought he'd go to the right, he'd get a touchdown.
Anyways. There were some guys, and we can talk about whenever you want, that didn't play great up front run blocking on Friday night. The other thing is, besides individual play, when you're not game planning and you have eight in the box and linebackers, you know, bossing over, working strong and different looks, I thought there was times they were just unsure of what backers they were going to, so there was free backers. In the regular season, you're game planning that. So you're not going to have free backers running as much through because in the preseason, we're going to run the scheme. We're not worrying about re-IDing the mic and everything else like
Which
that.
Which is why that's a big advantage for the defense.
Yeah, sure it is.
They use a lot of – like in Tampa the other day, Cleveland used a bunch of different looks at blitzes and come – and the offensive line, now they weren't good, but they don't plan for that.
So I think that'll get better. I think individually they got to run block better as well. I don't – you know, Zane Beadle's where – I thought he played very well the first 2 weeks. I don't think he had his one of his better games.
What about Shatley, the left guard?
I think Tyler Shatley is a starting guard in this league. I'll leave it at that.
Okay, what about Shatley, the left
guard? I think Tyler Shatley is a starting guard in this league.
My thing, and I'm watching the game the other day, and I put the binoculars on the kid a bunch. He's a tough kid. I think he should be the starting left guard.
I think Tyler Shatley's a starting guard in this league.
So do you think he should be the starting left guard? Answer the question!
You can't handle the truth.
So? Would you start him? Tony Boselli is the head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars, which he always wanted to be anyways, but head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Think I should be?
Yeah.
Do you think Gus would mind being my assistant?
No, he wouldn't want to be your assistant. So would you start him at left guard?
If I was Gus Bradley, would I start Tyler Shatley at left guard? I would have a short hook on Zane Beadles.
Is that a tough transition going from the right
side,
not to guard?
Right? I don't think it is. I don't think it is. I mean, it takes some time. Change your stance. I think he's
strong. He's physical.
I don't think I would make the change opening weekend. But I'd have a short hook on Zane Beadles.
I'm going to date myself here, but you know, what you remind me of
Rich Tilsky,
Ed White. Do you remember Ed White?
No.
Back in the day. Was
How old
tough,
are you?
Old.
He's like 60.
Tilsky, he's better. He'll be better than Tilsky.
I couldn't think of a blue-collar guy name. I mean, that's why I said it. So I would have, is that a fair way to answer your question?
No, you didn't answer it.
I said I'd have a quick hook.
We'll give you a break to think about it and come back for your answer in just a moment.
All right, let's take a break.
Jaguars All Access tonight on Channel 4 at 7 o'clock, 5 minutes away. How about DVRing it? Staying with us. And then watch Sam Kavaris, Jeff Lagerman, and Jared Odrick tonight. Jaguars defensive lineman. That's at 7 o'clock on Channel 4. More offensive line talk with Tony Boselli and Pete Prisco. And your calls, 355-NFL1, 355-6351. This is Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HennanyAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
Second hour of Jaguars Monday. JP Shadrick, Tony Boselli, Pete Prisco. Phone lines are open, 355-NFL1, 355-6351. Plenty to talk about. Josh Scobie's trade to the Steelers, a big topic today. Julius Thomas.
Seems like he's on death row or something.
Whoa, why? What?
I mean, what hasn't he had since he's been here today?
I'm looking at all these empty wrappers on the table. Let's see. What are these? These are Orchard Valley Harvest,
which is a good
cranberry
healthy snack.
Cashew trail.
And he went
mix.
With the Belvita cookie.
Belvita blueberry cookie.
Now he had
breakfast
sun chips.
Things.
Sun chips. I told you my new theory.
Right. I know.
I'm gonna eat.
And you're
enjoy
living
life.
And you actually live in that.
Yeah.
I like it. I'm happy for you.
Oh, it's great.
He's liberated, he said.
I had a carrot cake for dessert today at lunch.
I think you and I have changed
fried,
personalities.
Fried
I
fish
used to
sandwich.
Be like that.
Outstanding. French fries. Oh,
and
so
last
good.
Night he had peanut butter pies.
That was two nights ago.
Are yeah. you working out?
Yeah, I worked out today.
Doing what?
I lifted chest, some dumbbell bench, and some incline machine because it hurts my shoulder.
Do you do any cardio?
And I did 40 minutes on the elliptical.
Nice. So now you can go home and eat a whole pizza.
You know, I think I'm going to have some tacos and burritos tonight, some Mexican food.
Nice.
Sounds good, some chips.
Because that's healthy. That's really good.
I'm not worried about it, JP. I'm trying to tell you.
You know what? The more I'm starting to think about Tony's theory on life, and I've passed it on to some other people.
Yeah.
And you know what? They say you make a good point, Tony.
Yeah. I mean, enjoy life.
Five more years, you don't eat what you want.
Yeah, you're miserable.
Right.
So I'm 43 years old. And to rewind our premise from last week, if I can live to 80 eating what I want, I'll take that, then live to 85 suffering and eating what everyone else wants me to eat to be healthy. So that's for another 37 years of enjoying it and eating it,
yeah.
Or 42 of being miserable.
You'll take the 37?
37, baby.
I say it lasts about another 6 days.
It'll last until my clothes don't fit.
You can go get
off.
Those clothes
that's
out.
That's right. You still have your number back there.
So it'll last that long. But I'm enjoying it. When it
Washington, you're going to have a big meal this week.
Yeah. Yeah. The greatest, their dad, breakfast. I had eggs and pancakes and bacon and hash browns all at one sitting. It was awesome.
Six more days.
6 days. Less
awesome.
Than a week. By next Monday.
Labor Day. You'll be done.
Yeah, maybe.
We left you before the last break discussing offensive line play, and the question before the break that was never answered by Tony.
You didn't answer.
Hold on. The question was, would you start Shatley over Beatles right now?
See, back in the day when I used to sidle up to his locker and say, hey, Tony, what about should Shatley be playing over him? He'd go, you're right, Pete. Shatley should be playing.
Pete is such a liar. First of all.
You know that.
That's not true.
That is true. You never told me anything when I was coming?
No, nothing that was not common knowledge. Unless I. Yeah.
Oh, that is so untrue.
Except for the one Brunell deal. I was like.
That was it, but that was for sure. But there were some other ones, too. You would tell me if a player stunk or not.
Yeah.
Hold on. What was the one Brunell deal, by the way?
There was. Let's not get into
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you brought it up.
No, it's old. We talked about it last year on the.
But it's being resurrected in 1996. No, that actually was later than 96.
It was like 98, 99.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. He was the second source on the story.
Oh, okay.
He asked me a question. I said, yeah, but I would have told Tom that. Yes.
Then why wasn't your name on it then?
You can put my name on it. I said,
put
my
name
on it. You
said, write the story. You were yelling at me. You got to write it. You weren't out in the truck telling me that you got to write the story, Pete. Write the story.
I said, put my name on it.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, I did.
No, you did not. But anyway, so let's pretend it's not. I'm sorry. Tony, should Shatley be at left guard?
I said if I was the head coach, I'd have a short hook on Zane Beagles. That's what I said.
I'm trying, right, Joe? I'm trying.
No,
right,
you're
JP?
Not.
Different angles, yeah.
I'd rather have callers. Can we get callers in?
Maybe the callers will ask you the same question.
Fine, ask the question.
Somebody call in and ask Tony if Shatley should be starting at left guard. Please. So he'd answer the question. He won't answer it from me.
Read the number to him, JP, because you like doing that all the time.
Well, that's how they know the number.
Oh.
It's called radio. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Tony is eagerly anticipating your questions.
I'll tell you this. I am ready for preseason to be over.
Me too.
Can we just start there?
Me too.
I'm ready to talk about stuff that matters, games that matter. We're going to get through this last cut, which I'll be happy when that's over. I want to play football. It's enough. Enough, enough, enough.
You know what else has gone out the window, too? And I was talking to another coach last week about this. The old third game matters crap. Remember, 15 years ago, it might have mattered a little bit more than it does now. It doesn't matter anymore.
No, like Drew Brees played like one series.
It doesn't matter. The dress rehearsal.
Because everyone's trying to get to the regular season. But I'll say this. Part of the problem with offensive line, so Pete does an article in the for CBSSports.com.
Today. What's the actual name of your
CBSSports.com? CBS Sports. CBS Sports.
And the whole premise of what's wrong with the offensive line nowadays. They're no good. There's not very many good offensive line. And my whole premise or my whole theory is everyone talks about, college and they run the spread and they don't prepare. And I think that's part of it. I don't think they're getting as coached as well because they're not asked to do a lot of pro-style stuff in college right now. So that's part of it. But I started thinking, I think a bigger part of it is the way the CBA is set up right now, that you can't practice. Think about it this way. When I played, we had two-a-days every day for the 2 weeks leading up to the first game. They have what do they have now? One-a-days.
Or 95, the 4 weeks leading up to the first
4 weeks leading up. But let's just say on average, to be average, 2 weeks of two-a-days. Two practices a day.
For
6 days a week.
It wasn't quite six. It was probably 10.
5 days. So 10 practices.
Ten
full pad practices.
Right.
In that 2 weeks, they got about six full practices. No, they didn't get that many.
No, they get about, in 1 week, they get probably five.
So let's say half. They get half the full pad of practice I did.
Right.
And the others, they're not even getting, they're doing walkthroughs.
Half practices. Now they get probably three pad of practices to every 10 of yours.
That's why, okay, so 3 to 10.
Right.
Those are all reps that I got playing a position, and the one position, in my opinion, more than any other position on the football field that needs repetition to become good at it, to become great at it. And then even more of that, you need repetition with the five guys you're going to play with to work in cohesion to be really a really good unit. So why would we not think that the offensive line play would go down when you're only getting half the practice that you did before?
And coming out of college, they're not getting taught the right way. And then the coaches get put in the position where they got to try and teach.
They don't have time.
They don't have time to teach because they're trying to
put the offense in.
And
they don't have time to teach.
Tell me if you agree with this. This is a good – actually, Bentley said this, and you probably agree with it. I wasn't so sure, but he said the difference between the backup offensive lineman and the starting offensive lineman in the NFL might be as the biggest disparity of any position in any sport.
Yes.
In any sport.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. First of all, there's not...
Where are they? Why are there none?
Pete, how many people in this world are 6'6", 320 pounds and athletic? How many people in the world?
That's true.
Not very many. There's not a lot of 6'6", 320 athletic human beings made by God.
Plus, a lot of people want to play on the other side of the ball if you're that big. You got a lot of basketball
players.
A lot of basketball players who are 6'6", think they're going to the NBA and play, and they should be offensive linemen or tackles or tight ends or something.
So my point is, and then you get half the reps we used to get.
I'll say this. You go around the league, how many good offensive lines are there? Good. Right now in the NFL. Cowboys.
I think this group's good.
But right, they look good, but we don't know yet.
I think they can be good.
They can be good. But we don't know yet. Good. I'm talking about good right now.
Bengals.
Good line.
Yeah, they're good.
Are the Browns good? The right side's not so good.
The Ravens is pretty good.
Ravens is good when they're all on the field.
That's when they're healthy.
That's three.
Are the Eagles good?
Well, I got to go through. I mean, you're going to ask me to go through whole
32.
Off the top of your head. The Eagles are – well, the Eagles are good because they ask them to do what they do in college.
What about the Packers?
No.
They're good.
Average.
So it's hard to
Seattle?
Find.
Seattle?
No, terrible. You should see them this spring. They're struggling to move the football. They haven't scored a touchdown.
There you go.
The line stinks. I mean, it's a bad position in the National Football League.
Yeah. You don't get the reps, Pete. But think about it. If you don't get reps, how are you supposed to get better?
All right. You said that the line struggled in the run game last week.
Yeah.
Who?
I don't think Beatles played very well.
Beside him, was anybody else having problems?
That was glaring to me. That was the only glaring one.
What was his problem? Getting to the second level, getting stood up?
Keep going.
All of it, huh?
I think it was all. He didn't have a good game. And I mean, listen.
He plays high.
He plays very high. But I've been honest. I thought the first two games, what did I say on the radio?
He was better.
I thought he played well.
Yeah.
I did not think he played well this week.
But even in those first two games, he got high a couple times.
But he played better pad level. He played more power. I did not see it this week. It was concerning.
Okay. Since you won't answer the question, how did Shatley play?
Played well.
I had my binoculars on it because I
was
here.
Powerful.
He's strong.
Strong.
Strong, powerful.
Physical guy.
Good in the run game.
Good run game.
Base. Has a firm base.
Firm in the pass game.
His base is – he's good.
Firm in the pass game.
He's good. I don't know if he. I don't know if he. I mean, he. He's not Linder.
No.
But
no,
he's good.
He's good.
Interesting.
Let's take a call.
Let's
change the subject.
Yeah, let's do it. He's probably going to ask you the same question.
Chris on the west side wants to talk about Zane Beatles. What's up, Chris?
Oh, man, I almost didn't call because Tony Baselli intimidated me.
Don't let that happen.
I'm intimidating.
Yeah, okay. I called a while back about Zane Beatles, said it would take a miracle for him to make the team. And I was mistaken. Yes. Because of a couple of unforeseen things. First of all, AJ Cann didn't push him at all.
None.
Competition-wise. And second of all, I thought Boyka was going to win the center. And I thought Wisniewski was going to push for the left guard spot. That didn't happen. And, you know, yeah, I think it's a legitimate question. Is Shadley better than Beatles?
Shadley is a more powerful player than Beatles right now. Is he better all around where he has the experience of play? I mean, because, listen, I mean, Beatles has started a lot of games, and that says something, being in game situations and understanding, you know, what you're seeing in schemes and different looks and everything like that. Shatley has not had the experience. So
is Shatley a smart kid?
I mean, I don't know.
We don't know. Pick up the calls, yeah, pick up the check.
How would he do going to the left side? I mean, I don't think it's a big deal, but, you know, he's got to be able to do it. He is a powerful, physical human being. I think he's a starter in this league. I just don't know if it's right now. Is that a better answer for you?
No, you're still dodging the question. Tap to answer.
Go to the next call.
Dan on the south side, Zane Beatles. What's up, Dan?
Hey, what's going on, everybody? I'm not gonna ask the Zane Beatles question because I'm already positive that we all know what Tony's really thinking.
You're reading between the lines.
I'm glad you know because I don't even know.
I'm kind of a mind reader, man. Anyway, but you know, I do have a legitimate question about how do you feel about the Julius Thomas surgery on his ligament in his hand? And I mean, how do you think that the 50-50 chance of hopefully we get JT in there, and then how do you think the outcome would be if maybe we don't have him, starting tight end and, got Clay Harbor in there, even though Clay Harbor is a terrific tight end. And obviously Mercedes Lewis as well. But, I mean, how do you think that, that could potentially affect the outcome of our first week in the postseason? I mean, what do you think?
In the postseason or the regular
season? I'm sorry. The regular season, excuse me.
Listen, I hope Julius Thomas is there. But if I was a betting man, based on just the information that we've gotten from the press conference and everything else and the way they tabled it, my guess is Julius Thomas will not be there for 3 to 4 weeks. That's my guess.
It almost sounds like they made a decision on it already.
That's my guess.
I mean,
we don't know. I don't
know
that. And if he's not there, are they going to be as good? No. But will they be okay? I think so, because I think both Clay Harbor and Mercedes Lewis have had great training camps. And Nick Jacobs can be that third guy and does a nice job. Listen, you miss Julius Thomas. You paid him all that money because you want him on the field.
That's right.
And he's a good player. But I don't think it's crippling that you can't – I don't think it's a situation where you can't win without him.
And here's the thing about the first three opponents that you play on defense. To beat Miami, you better block them. Sue, Vernon, Wake. It's not the secondary. So it's more about protecting them. Carolina, if they're healthy – and they have everybody.
Big if, but yes.
You got to block them, too, because their secondary is beatable. And New England, Chandler Jones in that group, and the secondary is certainly beatable.
Let's just make sure Chandler Jones in that group is not as good as Miami
Miami's
Carolina.
The best. Miami's the best of them.
Yeah, but they're not as good as either of those.
Chandler Jones and Jamie Collins and Dante Hightower, they're good football players, Tony.
They're good football players, Pete, but I don't know, are they dominating? That Carolina front seven can be dominating. That might Star Lotui and Charles Johnson.
They haven't played at all.
I'm just saying if they're healthy. You said if they're healthy.
Kawhan Short actually played better than Star last year. But
you said if they're healthy.
Okay.
They're better than.
But they already lost Frank Alexander for the season as a rotational defensive end.
Let's keep going.
Miami's the bet. Miami's, there's no doubt. Miami's going to be a problem in week one. So if Jacksonville's offensive lane is clearly if Jacksonville's offensive line is clearly improved, you'll know it by week two.
Are you sold on Ryan Tannehill?
I think he got better last season. I don't know if he's a top tier quarterback, but we're gonna make that joke.
Frank, let's get another one in. Hunter on the west side wants to talk about your boy Luke Jokel. What's up?
Yeah, as a high school football coach and my dad being an offensive line coach for my whole life, pretty much.
Nice.
Why am I not seeing how bad people think Luke Jokel is? I don't see it. I see a pretty decent tackle, maybe not perfect, but I see a lot of potential and somebody I think we could easily give a chance to.
Well, Hunter, I'm with you. I mean,
I'm with you, too.
I mean, listen, I said it this morning on a radio show, and I'll say it again here. That offensive line against a defensive line that hit Robert Griffin III.
Yeah, a lot of guys didn't play.
Hold on. Let me finish. That hit Robert Griffin III 6 times in 8 plays. Did not touch Blake Bortles except for on one
Ziggy
hit.
Ansah didn't play.
Okay, one hit, Pete. Over how many drop times did he drop back? 20 what? 23 times?
Yeah, something like that.
And then he ran 29. He ran 2 other times, so say 31 dropbacks. They hit him once.
They played pretty good.
That's
games.
My point. So everyone wants
He's
to talk
asking about Jokel.
I'm getting to it. Offensive line is a team group effort, and for a group not to get the quarterback hit, the left tackle has to be doing something pretty good or okay. He got run over one play.
He got turtled.
Everyone wants to, and everyone wants to focus on that one play. And by the way, that one play when he got turtled, quarterback still got the ball off.
Right.
So. At the end of the day, did it look good? No. But your job is to make sure the quarterback doesn't get sacked.
How was the rest of the tape with Jokel?
Good. I mean, not great, but good.
Solid, right?
Yeah, solid.
See, and that's part of the
line. What do they want? I mean,
and part of the line, you'll appreciate this, is part of the line story. I was talking to GM the other day, and he said, nowadays when you get a left tackle, you just want him to be okay. You don't need him to be great. You just can't have a disaster over there. If he's just
not
okay.
That.
And he's not that. But think about it. All these left tackles that have been drafted, Jake Matthews, Matt Khalil, Jokel, Fisher, Donovan Smith in Tampa, you just want him to be okay, which goes back to, like, I prop him up all the time in his generation. Back then, the second-tier tackles were better than these guys. The DeBrickashaw Fergusons, I mean, not DeBrickashaw Ferguson,
Samuels.
Richmond Webb, Samuels, the guy, Bruce Armstrong, the
Bruce
whole... The whole second
Tony
level.
Tony
Jones. The whole second level of guys are better than the guys
Tony
now.
Tony Jones would be the best left tackle in the NFL right now.
Right. Why? It's because they're not trained. They don't get the reps.
Yeah, they don't get the reps. I mean,
So if Jokel can just be okay, then they'll be fine.
Yeah, I think Hunter made a great point. I mean, the offensive line, I mean, overall, they run block great, but the pass protect is pretty dang good, and everyone wants to kill Jokel. And I'm like, he was part of a group that over 31 dropbacks got the quarterback hit one time.
But I did ask you. If you ever were turtled, we'll talk about that. I got to take a break, but we'll talk about
never
that.
Never turtled.
We'll come back in a moment. Phone line's still open. 355-NFL1. 1-800-355-6351. This is Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HennanyAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
Enjoy an amazing field view and air-conditioned comfort from the all-new Private Terrace Suite Chalets. Great for entertaining clients and business partners. The all-inclusive experience includes premium parking, food and beverage, a full bar, and more. Visit the Jaguars Black section of Jaguars.com or call 633-2000 for more information. Jaguars Monday, JP Shadrick, Tony Boselli.
Yes.
Pete Prisco. Looking
What's
at
up?
Tweets from each other. Glad you're with us. 355-NFL1. 355-6351, maybe some callers. We got one more calling segment. We'll go around the National Football League coming up as well. We touched on defensive line a little bit earlier tonight, mainly on Leo, though.
How about the whole defense? Let's talk about the whole defense.
Let's talk defense then. We've said that the offense
not very
is
good right now.
Ahead of the defense right now.
Ahead?
Yeah.
It's not very good right now. That defense isn't very good. Now, you got circumstances. You have Cedric Marks. Not back.
Yeah, but when's he coming back, Pete? Two, three, four.
And how's he coming back? I mean, Geno Atkins took a whole year to come close to being back.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
And he suffered his on October 31st. When did Cedric suffer?
Last game of the year.
Yeah, see, Geno Atkins got hurt on Halloween, and it took him all last year. He wasn't close to being the same player. So two more months for Senderek, it's going to be tough to come back and be the same guy. He works his butt off, but still.
No, it was concerning they didn't get a pass rush against Detroit again.
Nothing.
And they didn't really weren't that good against the run either. What were their run? Bring up their run numbers.
Well, how about the average the per long carry? Run around the end.
Zenner was like, I thought it, I was.
What are you
like,
talking about? What are you looking at?
I want to know how many yards per carry did the Lions have?
What was that one carry? It was 40 yards, wasn't it?
Yeah, 30. 41.
Yeah, and somehow it was like completely, somebody blew an assignment over there because somehow, somewhere.
There was no leverage.
Colvin got
matched
up against a tackle. That should never happen.
We needed. I mean, if you're Detroit, you're hoping they drop that defense and call that play every time. I mean,
so somebody blew an assignment, right?
I guess, but that's one of those plays, like in high school, what you do, you keep on running the same play over and over again if you get that look.
Right. I mean, but it looked like somebody was out of position.
They got out-leveraged quickly. And
I thought Skuda got blocked a couple times on some runs on the outside, too. Am I wrong about that?
Yeah, I don't think anyone really played all that hot.
Detroit averaged 5.4 yards per carry.
That's what I thought.
And Zenner had 10.6 with that big 40-plus.
Well, the...
But there was room to run.
Right. There was room to run, A, but
the
62-yard throw to Tate, he had it all day in the pocket. He's standing back there.
Man coverage. I mean, that's a tough job.
And he was there. He just couldn't make the play. The ball
he turned back. As soon as he turned back and looked for the ball, he slowed down, and then it was over.
That it was done.
It was just
it was a great throw, though.
Oh, it was
big time throw.
You hit Golden Tate in stride. He doesn't break stride.
It was unbelievable. It was a great throw.
Like, he dropped it in, like, he was right next to him.
But back to the defense, they have to do something.
They got to if they have any chance of being good this year defensively, they have to be dominant in the run game and make a team one-dimensional so then you can dial up blitzes and five-man rushes and different exotic looks. But if they give up, 4 to 5 yards a carry in the run game, it's going to be a long season because they don't have that pass rusher who can dominate.
Right. So you're going to
You got to get them one-dimensional.
That's the theory that Atlanta tried last year when they went and signed Tyson Jackson and Solei. They figured, okay, you don't have great pass rushers, so if you choke off the run and put the other team in obvious passing situations, it'll help improve your pass rush, and it didn't work. Your theory is stop the run, put them in obvious passing situations, and that'll help the pass
rush. What other choice do you
they
have?
They don't.
What other choice do you have?
They don't.
So that's what you got to do.
I didn't watch the 22. You did. How did Odrick play? He hasn't played great so far.
I thought he played a little high. I thought he played a little high the week before, too. Now, he's coming off really second preseason game. He's a veteran, so, he might
have veteranitis.
Feel his way through it a little bit. So I'm not going to, jump to, judgment like you. So I have a snap judgment.
I don't have snap judgment.
Like you and Frangie.
No.
Based on, couple preseason games. I think
mine's 8 years
fine.
In the future. I don't know what the snap judge.
Roy Miller looked good.
Pause.
Fine. That's
Telvin.
Telvin, fine. I want to wait and see. I'm gonna give them the benefit of the doubt because you got a bunch of veterans over there who know how to play football. Tyson's playing well though. That's the one guy playing well in the preseason.
What about moving him over to the outside and playing?
Is it Leo?
No, on the other side, and playing Odrick inside.
No, I think Odrick's better at that big end position because he's longer.
And that should help stop
the
run.
Yes,
helps
stop the run because the big tackles, can overwhelm Tyson a little bit, the big at that position. But I think they're okay.
And you and Log have been
disagreeing.
We disagree.
Logs thinks they should put Odrick inside and Tyson outside.
There's a sack total.
Yeah, my chances.
I like your chances with that one too. You're not. He's not. What do you say? Seven?
Six or more.
Yeah, he ain't getting to seven. They're going to be hard pressed to get to 25.
No, they'll get more. Pete, they had 46 last year.
They're
going to
be
45.
They're going to be the Bengals. Bengals had 20 something last year.
I think they'll have 34.
You're not exactly going much past what I said, did you?
That's more.
You look at me like I said. Did I say 25?
Yeah.
And he said, "Well, I think they'll have 34." So he gave nine
that's
more.
Over a half a sack more a game. It's a lot, isn't it, JB?
Would you be shocked to see him in the 20s? Would you be more shocked to see him in the 20s or in the 40s? High 40s.
High 40s.
That's not good. But the pass rusher tore his knee up. The other one's coming off an AC. The other pass rusher inside's coming off an ACL.
Nothing you can do about it. Make it work.
The problem is which one of those guys that they keep propping up is going to rush the passer?
Ryan Davis.
Yeah, I keep hearing it.
I think Ryan Davis will have 7 sacks this year.
But now, okay, you would say he'd move inside in the sub packages. Now he might have to.
Well, the question is I think the sub will get some pressure because they'll get creative and they'll do different things. And they're well coached and they have good schemes. The question is on first and second down, who's going to rush the passer? Who's going to get any pressure in first and second down?
Okay, I come to the line of scrimmage. How are they lining up on first down, opening day?
They're going to have Audric as a 4 technique, big 4.
So he's the run stopper.
Roy as a 1.
Right.
Tyson as a 3.
Right.
And
Clemens?
Clem is the Leo, or Chris Smith, or Ryan Davis. One of them.
I think he could rotate, actually, on first downs sometimes.
Will they
be the same guy.
Pluck a young guy?
Oh, there's so many young guys to pluck.
But some.
Who?
I don't know.
Give me one name, Pete. One name. And listen, you know the NFL better than anyone listening to this show or anyone sitting in this studio. Give me one name that you can pluck because you just sounded like a fan.
No, they could pluck a young guy and stash him and maybe get.
Who?
Well, somebody like Ryan Davis who they found off.
Tell me.
I don't know. That's their scouting.
Yeah, no, there's nobody.
It's hard to find pass rushers.
Guess what? If you can rush the passer, because I think pretty much Ryan Davis was a street free agent here.
Right.
And they kept him.
What about?
It wasn't somewhere else.
Would you sniff around Freeney?
Yes, I would.
See, I hear he wants to play with a contender.
Pay him more money.
How old is he?
Old.
Yeah, he's
30. But he can still rush the passer.
Yeah, he can still help. He played pretty okay at times.
Yeah, he'd be like Clyde Simmons. That's the type of signing you're getting.
He's a good dude, too. He'd be good in the locker room.
Yeah, I would go try to sign him.
Sign him and Alden Smith.
Better
Well, I mean, I'd already done that, as we've said.
Better producer, him or Clemens? Freeney or Clemens?
I think the two of them, you get double-digit sacks.
Between them. Combined.
Let's ask this guy right here. I like
double-digit sacks. Dave Caldwell, walking into the studio.
We just signed Dwight Freeney.
Dwight Freeney. He's walking out
now. He's walking out now. He just signed Dwight Freeney for you. We already signed Alden Smith.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We already signed Alden Smith.
I got shut down on that one, too.
You did?
How much did we pay him?
You give him an incentive-laden contract.
Free. He wanted to come here.
You have an incentive-laden contract.
I said we're talking about the Leo position, and the question is, and we're not asking you to answer this because you're not going to, but I think we can dial up pressure on third down because we have pretty good schemes and what they did last year and the way they were able to kind of get pressure with bringing 5 and games and twists and pretty creative. Question is where do you get the pressure on first and second down?
Well, it is a challenge. I think the biggest thing, and the way you look at the league and you look at some of the teams we play early, like Miami, some of the teams we played in the preseason and the Giants, teams are getting rid of the ball faster and faster and faster. So even with the premier edge guys on first and second down, teams are getting rid of the ball so fast, it's hard for those guys to even make a difference anyways. So ideally, if you can keep them in third and long and then you pressure them and try to get off the field that way, that's kind of the way it looks like the league is going. Ideally, if you have a good interior rusher on first and second down, like we did with Senderic last year, that is where it helps in terms of because they have a quicker route to the quarterback.
How much after this third preseason game, which is Thursday in Washington, and that's when everyone gets down to 53? I mean, are there guys out there that can help that, or is it just? I mean, are we shooting in the dark a little bit, hoping? And it's kind of it is what it is at this point.
Yeah, I think what you look at is there may be a guy here or there, but how much are they going to upgrade you compared to what you have right now? And at that point in time, it's not like teams are going to just put out premier edge rushers at the cutdown.
You mean they don't just give you those?
No.
It was funny because Pete a second ago said, let's just, you know, just pluck one up. And that's I said, yeah, because they're everywhere,
that's
Pete.
That's not what I said.
Yes,
get
you
a
did.
Young,
exactly
get a young,
what you said.
Okay, pluck a young guy. And
pluck
maybe he
him. Pluck him.
Hey, Ryan Davis was plucked from somewhere, wasn't he?
No, he was a street free agent.
Right, that's what I mean.
Rookie
he came from nowhere.
Rookie.
But he
rookie.
Came from nowhere. You could get a young guy.
Let's go pluck
him.
One.
Well, we have Ryan, so we don't have to pluck. And we have Chris Smith, who's doing some nice things for us. So, you know, maybe those two guys develop into inside pass rusher and Chris on the perimeter and first and second down. And then we've got Clem on third down until Brancher comes back. And, you know, we'll see what our guys can do that we have here right now.
What about a guy like Dwight Freeney? And I'm not saying him in particular, but that veteran guy who was once a great player but now at the end of his career and can still be a situational guy.
Yeah, I mean, you know, a lot of it depends on where he's at, you know, conditioning-wise. Is he willing to play? Does he want to play? It sounds like he does. But I don't think we're there yet as a team or a franchise. So I think for us right now to see with what the guys we have and what they can do early on in the season, and hopefully Brancher makes a quicker return than anticipated.
General Manager Dave Caldwell stepping in with us on Jaguars Monday.
Yeah, he always comes by.
We like this.
He likes
awesome.
Because he likes to come in and give us all crap.
I like the Italian guys.
The two Italian guys. tells us how wrong we are.
Biggest news today, I think, out of your conference call certainly was Julius Thomas. The news came down this afternoon. There's second opinion tomorrow. When did this all start? And that's a big second opinion coming tomorrow.
Well, yeah, he had his cast off today and got his second opinion or went in for his follow-up appointment and just wasn't firming up like they thought it would firm up. So to move the process along and be aggressive with it, you know, they talked about potentially doing surgery, tightening it up. So at the max he loses his 4 weeks. You know, there's a possibility of waiting to see if it tightens up, but then you're into week three, week four, and if it doesn't, now you're into week eight. So the thought process is let's maybe be aggressive with it. Let's get a second opinion, see if everybody's on the same page. And then if it is, go in, do a quick surgery, clean it up, tighten it up, and then should be back hopefully, you know, around week four. And truth be told, we didn't know if he'd be ready for week one as it was. It was going to be dicey and there was going to be some risk involved. And then, so, you know, we prolong it maybe 2 weeks. And we know that by the time he comes back now, week four, the bone's going to be definitely healed. So there's no risk there. And then it'll be tightened up.
Could you have had the surgery right away? I mean,
well, they thought, you know, if it's you and I or just average Joe, they probably wouldn't do the surgery. They just let it tighten up. But trying to, you know, initially it was hard to tell because the capsule's so small and the ligaments are so small that you didn't know really what condition the ligament was in. And, so an MRI wouldn't have been able to tell you until all the blood kind of removed out of that joint. And so it was going to take about a week or two. So they didn't really know. They thought that basically if the fracture healed and the finger was stable, that that would be good to go. So you kind of had to wait to see.
Interesting.
Yeah. It's so weird.
Yeah.
Well, good news. You can't play with that.
Well, no. Wait a second, Pete. Yeah.
You said tape it up earlier.
At the beginning of the show, you said just tape it up. I'm like, okay.
I think the risk of him missing two extra games and getting it taken care of outweighs the fact of him trying to play with it as it is. And
what if it was a postseason game?
I think we'd probably have a different conversation.
Yeah. And the good news is,
and I think Julius would too.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, right. The player always would. Right. I mean, and the good news is the other tight end's been playing well in his absence. I mean, Clay Harbor and Nick Jacobs and Mercedes had great camps. So
yeah, we've been fortunate where we have some depth there, and so it is what it is, and. You know, we will we'll figure it out. Our coaching staff will figure it out. Our players will figure it out. Julius will hopefully be back like Brancher sooner than later, and we'll be good to go.
Let's finish with this, Dave. You said today that the trade of Scobie to Pittsburgh was the toughest decision you've made as the GM here. Why was that?
Well, I, just as a person, you know, we all know he's a very good kicker and has been with this franchise for a long period of time. But as a person, I really thought the world of him and his community service that he did in the city of Jacksonville. So those are the tough ones. And you like Josh as a player. You like what he's done for his organization and his career will probably be on the pride at some point in time, I would imagine. And I think for the most part, you know, unfortunately it had to come to an end right now, but it's been it was difficult.
Did you get any sniffs for the other kid?
We did. And, you know, we had some – dialogue early last week or late last week after the game for him and a little bit for Josh, but this was by far the best offer we had, and it was for Josh. And we knew we had value there between the two of them, and we knew that eventually something was going to happen, and it was just a matter of time. And when Pittsburgh was aggressive with it, we just felt like it was time to do it.
You know how you love those draft picks. Those draft picks.
We are where we are as a franchise. We figured Jason as a young kid, we can grow with him. And, you know, he'll make mistakes, and we're fully aware of that. But we think it could be a relatively seamless process as long as, you know, we don't as long as we realize that he's not going to be perfect, not going to hit 100%, but he's going to be good enough.
Question for you. Why did he not kick for the arena team? Did he get beat out for the arena team?
I already told you, Pete, no one cares.
Yes, they do.
No,
I care.
No one cares.
You don't care.
Well, then do a story on it.
It's not that much I care. I just want to know. I'm sure the fans want to know. He's a kicker for the team now, and he didn't win the job in Arena League.
Yeah, you know, certain people develop at a different pace than others, I guess you can say.
Adam Vinatieri got beat out in college. How about that?
Michael Jordan started for North Carolina.
He got cut from his basketball team in high school.
This was only a year or two ago.
And they didn't let you write for the high school paper.
Yes, they did.
Oh.
They didn't let you high jump.
No, they didn't let me do that. No, for sure.
He can't reach the bar.
No, I can't.
You want to go around the league with us when we come back? You got to go.
Who are we talking about?
I don't know. Whatever you want. All kind of stuff.
Yeah. Well,
we'll see.
We'll see.
I'll play by ear.
We'll take a timeout. Jaguars Monday. Dave Caldwell with us. Tony Boselli. Pete Prisco. It's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HennanyAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
JP Shadrick, Tony Boselli, Pete Prisco. Jaguars Monday rolls along. Dave Caldwell still in with us, Jaguars general manager. Hops in on Mondays now. We like this.
I'll be honest with you.
This is cool.
This is my favorite. I look forward to this every Monday, and it happened quite a bit last year. It didn't come on the air, but he'd always come and sit down with Pete and I.
I was here too.
But you don't. Really, you don't count.
Either. No, I'm just here. I'm taking oxygen.
You're not Italian.
You're a moderator. You're a moderator.
God, you're just killing JP.
It's okay.
I love JP.
I've been called worse.
Yeah, he's been called. But I just love the conversation because Dave, this is what Dave does. It's his job. He's watched films, studies these guys, and here Pete and I have these opinions, and he has to put with us, telling us what we think.
It wasn't mine that he was putting down.
No, he put
yours.
Me down. Him and I disagree on these things sometimes.
It's good. Disagreement's good.
It is good.
Yeah.
If I was a GM, I'd want my scouts disagreeing with me.
Yeah, we do. And matter of fact, we encourage open group thinking. If you got an opinion, speak your mind.
I know some teams that used to get rid of scouts who stood up to the GM in meetings.
Well, I figure this, and Gus and I are in the same way. If we can't prove our point, then maybe we're not right, you know? And if you have all the evidence, if you have all the information, and you still can't sell it, and you still can't, prove it. Well, maybe the person that is disagreeing with you might be right.
Well, plus you hire people that you think are smart and capable, and you want their opinion.
Sure,
I'd want them to tell me, and then you go back and rewatch something over and over.
I would want them to tell me, but then I want them to shut up when I tell them they're wrong.
Like when Anthony Cesario, you don't want that scenario happening out again.
And who told you that one?
You did.
Like the 30 seconds.
First day,
Anthony says Colorado State.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Jaguars
scouts.
He had a heart attack.
I did not know that.
God rest your soul, Anthony, but we're going to tell this story. The Jaguars scouts. The Jaguars scouts had like a 7th-round grade on them, and Coughlin came to the process late. And, no, we love this kid. 2nd-round grade.
Well, they wanted a guard. They wanted a big guard.
2nd-round grade. Coughlin had a 2nd-round grade on him.
Where'd they say? They took him the
third,
yeah.
So the first mini camp practice, not pads, nothing, he comes over to me and goes, "Who's that kid? I got your 3rd-round draft."
This is not a true story. I walk off the field, and a couple of the scouts are there, and I look at them, and I said, "That guy you picked?" They go, "Yeah." "He can't play." I said, "What do you mean? It's one practice." I said, "He can't play."
But see, Tom overruled everybody, and he ended up being a
– And he's a great kid. I loved him. He was great. Nice, kid. Nice kid. He just couldn't play.
Now he could play. It was just
– No.
He couldn't play to level of –
No.
He couldn't play it well.
No.
Couldn't play.
No.
See, we can't be that categorical. I keep telling you, you can't play. How about he played
at a
low average level?
It was a struggle.
Okay.
Well, how about he stunk?
That's good.
God rest your soul, Anthony, again with that.
I hope your family's not listening. We love you, but he was
great
kid.
They signed a guard in the first year of free agency named Sean Bowens.
Who'd you compare him to?
Same Beatles. You didn't argue with me.
I didn't say a word.
You didn't argue with me. But he was here for a year and gone the next.
Well, people make mistakes, I guess, right?
Yeah.
No, listen.
Everybody makes mistakes.
Well, it's not an exact science.
Well, there's a human nature element. It's, nature versus nurture. And you don't know how guys are going to respond and your culture and your team. And you kind of make decisions based off all the information you have. And hopefully you try to minimize risk as much as possible.
You don't know how many tweets a day I get on, "You thought Blaine Gabbert was going to be good." I did.
Well, sure. We all – I mean, listen, it's not – I mean, you try to project guys based on what they did in college and come to this level, and you don't know exactly how they're going to respond or how they – if it's a free agent, how they were in one system and how they're going to react to the new system with new bodies around him, new surroundings, and asked to do different things. That is the one thing in this league that I don't think people appreciate, how much you're asked to do different things often from one system to another, from one coaching staff to another, of how they like things done, whether it's, you know, just technique-wise, you know, footwork and hand placement and everything else, how you look at how you count a defense, you know, how you, you know, who's who and scheme-wise, and all that matters. And in one system, you might flourish if it's more of a, you know, a horizontal type of run game, and you're really athletic as a as an offensive lineman compared to a north-south downhill power type of, I mean. And you can flourish in one place, but then get to another system and be asked to do things that you can't do.
Well, I think it's important, and we always talk about working to make our decisions work. And I think for organizations, I think it's important that you understand that players develop at different paces. And,
yeah.
And you know, what may take one player one practice may take another player 3 years. And, you know, as an organization, you can't just be like a Tony Boselli and watch one practice and say the guy can't play. And, you know, because it'd be,
you were talking about me. Yeah. He says I'm the guy who makes
tough,
snap
huh?
judgments.
God, glad I'm not his child. But I think you have to understand and have patience. And everybody has to be involved, from your trainers to equipment staff to your player engagement to your coaches to your personnel, that everybody has to be on board to give – your players, when they come into the building, the best opportunity to succeed.
But hasn't patience kind of gone away from the NFL? I mean, there isn't any more patience.
Well, I think teams have patience. I think it's some guy sitting to the left of me here may not have patience.
What are you talking
about? The
guy
across from me,
the media and the fans don't have any patience anymore.
Yeah, I have a lot of patience.
I'm very patient.
I have no patience.
Let's just say, before you throw me categorically into a position, I think I've been very fair and patient in evaluating Luke Jokel in our conversations.
Almost to a fault.
How to a fault?
Because he's like your chosen one or something.
No, I call it as I see it. I think if you look around the league of what the left tackle position, where I said this the other day. If you took all 32 left tackles, just the left tackles, forget the right side, and you said, where does Luke Jokel rank in those 32? I believe there would be about 18 teams that would take Luke Jokel right now.
I don't know. Pro Football Focus had him down last in the whole thing.
Those guys, with all due respect to the Atlanta analytic world, which I believe in, is great. They watch a TV copy and they have no idea what they're being asked to do. Zero.
I know.
And how do you judge an offensive line?
You
can't grade an offensive line, number one, by TV copy. Number two,
well, they get the 22 tape,
okay,
but
without knowing
what they're
doing. You don't know what they're doing. You don't know what they're being asked to do. It's completely unfair.
Well, Dave, if you're average at that position now, not average, but if you're capable, the days of the dominant Ogden, Boselli, Jones, Roaf, Armstrong, I mean, even the second tier guy, those days are gone.
Yeah, it's hard. You don't see too many dominant guys like that. And I think the other thing too is that position is so unforgiving that it's when you play 70 plays a game and you have 68 good ones and you have two glaringly bad ones, that's all anybody remembers.
Especially when the narrative has been completely unfair to Luke, and what CBS did to him on national TV was criminal, number one. They cherry picked four plays from the entire preseason where he might have not looked great. And then the very next play, by just happen chances, he gets run over. But as I said earlier on the show, and I said this morning on another radio show, for an offensive line that protected against a defensive front that hit Robert Griffin III six times in eight plays, over 31 pass attempts, when Blake Bortles dropped back, two of them he ran on, they hit him one time.
No Ziggy Ansah.
I don't care. I don't care if Ziggy Ansah was there or not. One time they hit him. And number one, Ziggy Ansah went rushing over Parnell in third down, and he wouldn't beat Parnell. He wouldn't.
I think Parnell's good.
I do too. So my point is saying this. How can your left tackle be terrible if you drop back 31 times and the quarterback
gets
hit?
Nobody said he's terrible.
Yeah, that's the narrative. And what CBS did to him the other night was criminal, in my opinion. I don't like what they did. It was unfair to the kid. And he's not – is he a Pro Bowl player? No, not yet. But to Dave's point, he's in year three, year two of playing left tackle, and maybe year five, year six, as he develops and gets more comfortable, more confidence, and works on his craft – Does he have the capability of being a Pro Bowl player? I think he does. Is he right now? No. But is he better than average? Is he better than a lot of left tackles in the league? Yes. And so everyone just needs to stop the conversation because we're fine at the left tackle position.
There you go. Is take up for a sun routine. Every
Dave,
Sunday.
Am I wrong in that narrative at
no,
all?
No, you're right.
No,
you're not wrong.
No.
I don't know if it'll be a Pro Bowler, but you're not wrong.
I don't know if he is either, but I'm saying.
You said year five, he's going to be a Pro Bowler.
No, I said. That's exactly what you said.
Did I say that?
I think he's. Hopefully he's right.
Yeah, hopefully. For all of us, I hope I'm right.
Dave, good to see you.
Appreciate you guys. I love your opinions and keep it up.
There you go. Dave Caldwell, GM of the Jaguars, joining us. We'll take a timeout and go around the National Football League when we come back. It's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HennanyAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
JP Shadrick, Tony Maselli, Pete Prisco joining us. Dave Caldwell rolling out. We thank the general manager, of course, for jumping in again.
That's fun. And,
you know, it goes back to what Pete said, how this team is great about, how many GMs would come down and sit in and have a conversation?
Not many, if any.
And he's not going to tell us everything, and he shouldn't. But he's willing.
But he gives the fans a peek into his world.
He's willing to have a conversation with us. And when he's not on the radio, I'll tell you this: when he talks to Pete and I, and is honest with us. One, he trusts us, and two, but he gives us.
And Gus is the same way. I deal with all these teams, right?
Yeah.
And there are certain teams you go around and you deal with them. Some of them are pains in the butts, and some.
And
of them
I deal with them on national radio, and some of them, I'm telling you what, I would like to punch. By the end of the time being there.
See, now you know how I felt. Now
Tony?
No, I'm not saying.
Come on,
you know
Tony.
Now you know how I felt when I had to deal with Coughlin back in the day.
I understand very much so. But I enjoy – it's one of the reasons I love the organization no matter what, whoever was here. But it's fun to work here with this group because they're good guys, they're honest, they help you do your job. And that's – our job –
there's no guards in the hallway anymore.
That's right. That's true.
It's a true story.
JP, you have no idea what it used to be like.
Nope.
It was crazy.
They put guards in the hallway.
It was nuts. Pete used to wait outside in the parking lot for us to come out.
I was a good beat guy. I never went home.
He was a good beat guy.
Those were the days.
Yep.
Let's look around the National Football League. Tyrod Taylor being the Bills' starting quarterback today by record.
I used to call him Triple T.
How many
terrible Tyrod Taylor?
How many games can they win with Tyrod Taylor? Now, take in mind they have a great defense,
I played out the season; they won five or six. They stink. You can't win without that quarterback.
So, if you're Buffalo, why won't you trade for a guy like Sanchez or Barkley or Mettenberger? Why not
somebody? I would try it. Now it's a little too late, don't you think?
It's too late now, but why wouldn't you do it earlier with that defense, that run game?
Yeah, and you know, because it's Rex, vintage Rex.
How good is Khalil Mack? Or was the offensive line that bad?
No, he was that good last year. He just didn't get sacks.
He's dominant. Dominant
he was
player.
Dominant last year. I put him at number 35 on my top 100 list this year, and now I think it's too low.
Too low.
Everybody said it was too high when I put him there.
I think those lists are dumb, but
my list is good.
I think they're dumb.
Anger everybody, so it's always good. If you can get
they're fun.
Maurice Jones-Drew used to get mad at me about it, so it's always good.
Where'd you have him? What was the highest 20, you ever had him?
27 or something, and he was complaining about it. Told me I didn't know what I was talking about.
Kirk Cousins named the Redskins starting quarterback for the season. What's next for RG3?
A different team.
Yeah, watching. And here's the thing about Kirk Cousins. Do you ever look up the word soft in the dictionary? Kirk Cousins is next to it.
Colt McCoy will be the starting quarterback by week three.
Kirk Cousins isn't any good. He stinks.
Colt McCoy is better than Kirk Cousins.
Think about opening day
Would
start.
You agree with that?
No, but
he's tough.
Yeah, he's tough at least. Kirk Cousins, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Brian Hoyer, Josh McCown, Tyrod Taylor.
What was your tweet? Yeah. I want to hear the tweet.
I can't wait. It was something like that.
No, your tweet was if your starting quarterback is named any of the names he says, you can't win.
You can't get to 500. And then everybody
you can't get to 500. That was it.
It's terrible. I don't care what you have the rest of the way. Your quarterback stinks, you stink.
Brady and Goodell in court today. No movement. Judge will rule tomorrow or Wednesday. What's the answer?
It's tiring.
It's over. Stop. You
know,
already.
But you know what? That doesn't matter in any spots, but it matters here because in week three.
I hope he's suspended four games.
Right? But I mean, most of the fans around the NFL,
no one cares.
They're sick of it. It's tired of it.
It's over.
The media bangs and bangs and bangs the drum.
That's your people.
The most overblown story in the history of the National
Football
League.
That's your people.
The most overblown.
I can give you a list of things you've beaten the heck out of.
I haven't beaten that one.
The media. Oh, yeah. Overall media.
Yeah.
When I say you, you're part of the media.
So are you.
No, I'm
yes,
a player.
You are.
I'm a player.
You got a microphone in front of you.
Yeah, microphone. You're media.
Player.
Media.
Ex-player.
Tony, media,
microphone,
Baselli.
Headphones. Yep. You're an analyst now.
Keep going.
Tony, media, Baselli.
That's all we got. How about?
What do you mean, that's all we got?
That's all we got. We got like 30 seconds.
The show's already over?
It's over.
Yeah.
2 hours.
High fives when you're having fun.
Fast.
Our thanks to Dave Caldwell, as always. Tony Baselli.
Thanks to Joe. Crisco. Thanks, Joe.
Joe.
This is JP Shadrick.
Pete. Now, Pete, will you be with us next week?
Yes.
When do you start? When do you start doing it from the
following week?
Okay, good.
We'll be in this studio next Monday, 6 o'clock. It's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.